I still remember when I had started this podcast. It was close to May 2020 and one of the first episodes I did was on World Environment Day. Today is the third World Environment Day special episode and we have come so far and yet there is so much to do. So hello everyone, welcome to Daily Passenger Responsible Travel Podcast. This is Anshul and my guest today is Pushpam, a young change maker who is a part of Save Thano movement. Thano forest is a major green cover of Uttarakhand, a part of which is being destroyed for Dehradun Airport's extension. Pushpam here will tell us how it is affecting Dehradun's ecosystem, how far the movement has come and what it means for responsible travel in that area. So join us, put on your seat belts. I don't know why I said that, we are not driving. Don't drive and listen to this podcast. Anyways, let's start, and before we do, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on the platform you are listening. I totally messed up the introduction. Hi Pushpam, thanks a lot for taking out your time and joining me to record this episode.
Hi Anshul, glad to be here.
So, Pushpam, before we start, please share a little about yourself.
Right. So, Anshul, my name is Pushpam. I am a resident of Dehradun. I live in the city. And currently, I'm working with an organization in Dehradun. And I have been coordinating the Save Thano campaign since the October of 2020. And the COVID pandemic, that changed lives for a lot of people and it changed my life as well. Prior to COVID pandemic, I was a Merchant Navy officer. I was working in Merchant Navy. I had been reading about the changes in the climate for last 5 years and have been getting very concerned about the inactions at the political and geographic level. So that raised my concerns, that brought sort of a change inside me and led me to switch my career streams. And eventually I launched this campaign with the help from a lot of people around Dehradun. So a lot of individuals helped me, a lot of organizations helped me, we built teams, and yeah, that's how we built the Save Thano campaign. We were able to take this local issue to a national level and also have some international support from people who advocate on climate change and environmental conservation. Eventually, we got succeeded in our mission and we got our demands were fulfilled. So currently, I'm working to raise awareness in the youth and the school and college going people in Dehradun and trying to, you know, sensitize them on the issues of climate change, on environmental conservation, on wildlife endangerment and issues of that sort. So that's about me.
That's really nice. Great to see, great to hear from someone who left their settled life to work for environment. Like, there are not many people like you right now.
I hope there are more people in the coming time like me, because that's the way how we'll be able to save the planet. There's no other way.
Yeah, you are right. And please share about Save Thano movement. Which organization is mainly behind it, and how far have you guys come?
Right. So, Anshul, Save Thano campaign, the movement, it started in October 2020. Where some concerned citizens and organizations they came together. We had a meeting in Dehradun, and we decided that something needs to be done, because 10,000 trees were going to get chopped for the expansion of the airport, and we read the impact assessment. There is something called EIA, the Environmental Impact Assessment, that any project, any developmental project has to go through this process to obtain their environmental clearances. And we read the reports and we found out that those reports were not very correct and they did not make a lot of sense. There were so many points in it that even the Ministry of Environment, Forest and Climate Change the directors over there, the people, the senior officials over there, they also flagged a lot of concerns about the EIA. So from there, we got up, came together, the people and the organization. There is no one particular organization that's behind this, that is spearheading, that has spearheaded the entire campaign, but it was just a lot of organizations. To name a few, I think there was Agas Foundation, there was Citizens for Green Dune, there was Ideal Foundation, there was Rajpur Initiative, Rajpur People's Initiative, I think, if I'm not wrong. And similar, many organizations, there was MAD, which goes by the name of Making a Difference by Being the Difference. And there was BTDT, which goes by the name Being There, Doing That, headed by a well-renowned person in Dehradun, Lokesh Oriji. So a lot of people, a lot of organizations got together. We realized that this is not right. We had to do something. And we thought that why not do a Chipko movement, you know, to garner some support from the people. And you need to see, Anshul, this was October 2020. We were just getting out of the first wave of COVID. And, you know, people were very skeptical about getting out of their homes. But we thought, okay, let's do it. Let's see what happens. Let's call a meeting. Let's call for a protest in the Chipko movement, because we were not very happy. And this patch of land is like literally 4 or 5 kilometers away from my place. And it's like I go there twice, thrice weekly. So it's very close to my heart, you know. And just the news that it would be wiped off, 10,000 trees would be wiped off, you know, it gave me goosebumps. So we called a protest on 13th of October, I think 13th or 18th of October was the date. And we were expecting around 50 to 100 people, but to our surprise, there were more than 500 people who joined us in that protest. And what we initially thought would be a one-day event turned into a complete campaign and a complete movement. And from there, a lot of things happened. So to name a few, there are organizations like Jhatka Foundation, Jhatka, that goes on the internet by jhatka.org. And there is FIAPO, Federation of Indian Animal Protection Organization. So they took cognizance of our word. We tried to reach out to them. They even wrote to Prime Minister's office. And many people, we made a online petition on change.org. We were able to get support from more than 1.5 lakh people on that petition. So then there were more protests on the Uttarakhand Formation Day. I think that's on 9th November, if I'm not wrong. So we had that, several protests, several movements, several online events. And all of that, you know, resulted in getting suo motu cognizance from High Court. Now, it's very important to note here that around 86 environmental lawyers in India wrote a letter to the High Court of Uttarakhand, to the Chief Justice of High Court of Uttarakhand, pleading for the case. Also, one very critical aspect of this whole movement involved, you know, to transfer the forest land to the Airports Authority of India, the Uttarakhand government has had denotified the Shivalik Elephant Reserve. Now, Shivalik Elephant Reserve is an elephant reserve that spreads around the ranges of Corbett, of Rajaji National Park. It's like it covers around 5,400 kilometers of land in Uttarakhand. So that's a very vast area. And in 2002, I think it was denotified, somewhere around 2000 to 2002, I'm not very sure now. So it was notified around that time and they denotified it. So this was one of our demands, to reinstate the notification of Shivalik Elephant Reserve and even give it the protection under the protected forest lands. So these were our two demands, and fortunately both were accepted in the High Court. The High Court gave a stay order. So the High Court basically took cognizance of our case two times. One was a suo motu cognizance, which means that without any petition, without anything, the High Court itself took the cognizance of this public matter and started proceedings on that. Second time, where another petitioner, Renu Paul, she's from Dehradun, and she filed a petition, PIL, in the in the High Court of Uttarakhand, and two times our case was accepted in the High Court. The High Court gave stay orders on both the denotification of the Shivalik Elephant Reserve and on the chopping down of 10,000 trees. So this was a very vast journey. I think 6-7 months I was stretched completely from morning 6 to evening 10. I used to be engrossed with the activities, with planning the entire campaign, talking to different volunteers, getting more teams on board. Some volunteers who helped me, they were very, very enthusiastic, very helpful. And just because of this public support, we were able to make this entire campaign so big.
That's really great. I was not really aware of, like, I knew about the movement, but I didn't know that you guys have come so far. And
this whole story is from February 2021 when we got the stay in the Thano case.
And since you are from Dehradun, so people who are part of the movement must be having like personal attachment with the region as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So the airport is being extended to cater to more tourism in the state. That's an obvious fact. And since this is a responsible travel podcast, so I would like to know how tourism development in Uttarakhand has also affected local ecology.
All right. So I think the first thing we need to understand in respect of this particular airport, the Dehradun airport, which goes by the name Jolly Grant Airport, the development of this particular airport is happening in two stages, right? Actually, three, but first stage started way back before 2010. The second stage is currently underway. And the third stage was proposed to be an international airport. Now, we have 2-3 international airports in very close proximity, with the Indira Gandhi International Airport being the closest international airport, which is like 45 minutes of air distance from Dehradun to Delhi. And this narrative was being pushed that there is going to be more footfall, there's going to be more passengers, there's going to be more tourism, and our economy is going to thrive from that flow of tourism. But at the same time, what is not being propagated via these channels is that Uttarakhand is now reaching its capacity to handle tourism, right? So let's talk about Dehradun. Now, Dehradun currently is seeing developmental projects, infrastructure development projects all around its geography. So we have a new highway built from Haridwar towards Delhi, which has recently been built, and it's fantastic now that they've made a wide enough four-lane road. And another one is coming from Delhi, which is the Delhi-Dehradun Expressway, for which again 11,000 trees are being chopped as we speak right now. So there is a big tourism influx which is being generated, but our handling capacity in Dehradun has already exceeded. We are already above that limit. If you go to places like Mussoorie, if you go to places like Nainital, and to places like Badrinath and Oli, which are all in Uttarakhand and are very attractive tourist hotspots, you would find there that there are traffic jams of, hours at a stretch, 2-3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. And even though there is a lot of tourism influx, but the capacity that we have right now, the kind of mechanism, the government mechanism that we have right now, can we cater to so much tourists right now? Also, how it affects the local ecology. Now, such huge amount of tourism when it's coming into your state, and when you do not have the proper frameworks in place to manage that tourist, what happens is everything happens in a haphazard manner. So the tourism also demands certain amenities from the state. Now, we have shortage of water. Uttarakhand lies in an area where the groundwater level is under threat in the red level. That has been highlighted in so many recent reports. We are having a problem of waste management right now. So I'm currently working with Waste Warriors, which is an organization. The core work of our organization is a consultancy on waste management. So we have this big problem where wherever you go in Uttarakhand, and on a, every 10 kilometer or 15 kilometer distance on a downward slope, you would find that there are black spots. There are places where the waste has been dumped and it's not segregated. It's just been dumped over there. In most cases, you know, you would find that this waste starts leaking into a river which is flowing by. This is also another particular thing to notice, that all roads in Uttarakhand are somehow, you know, they are in alignment with the rivers a lot. So the entire path of Ganga and all its tributaries up till Gangotri, they have roads on either side. Okay, and this is where the waste is being dumped, and that's how it starts leaking, because it's a very steep slope, and the waste which is being dumped mostly by municipal corporations is just leaking over there. So this not only, you know, is a waste problem, is also a problem related to water, like water quality. Then the waste, it does not only just lie there, but the people who dump the waste, they also burn that waste. So it's also related to air pollution, right? And now when we talk about the infrastructure that is needed to bring in that amount of tourism, we see that roads are being built. You know, the Delhi-Dehradun expressway, which I was just mentioning, 11,000 trees are going to be chopped over there. And if you ever come down here, you would find that the road is perfectly wide. There is only in 11 kilometers of this road stretch, there is only one metal bridge that goes by the name of Lohe Ka Pul, that is what they call it in Hindi. So that bridge is a single lane bridge. And if that single lane can be doubled, tripled or quadrupled, there would be no traffic congestion in the entire 11 kilometers of that stretch. And this can be proved because earlier we used to have a problem related to the tunnel, that the tunnel was also single lane tunnel. But now we have a double lane tunnel. We actually have now two fully operational tunnels, one of which is not being utilized. Another one is now being built. We'll now have three tunnels, and you know, it's just being done in a very haphazard manner. So every action which is leading towards more tourism development in Uttarakhand has a very negative impact on the ecology. You also need to understand that Uttarakhand is in the foothills of Himalaya. Himalayas is they call it the young fold mountains, right? The entire geography is so ecologically sensitive that any anthropological activity that you do in the area will have a negative impact on the environment. Now, what we can do is build resilient structures, which is not being built. You know, thanks to the COVID lockdown in 2021, we did not have a lot of influx in tourism influx in the state. Otherwise, you would have seen massive deaths, because we had 200 plus landslides in this one season of 2021, just because of the Char Dham Pariyojana that is being recklessly carried out throughout the state. So this is the overall summary of the ecological impact of the tourism development that's happening in the Uttarakhand.
I totally agree that the state doesn't have capacity to handle any form of increased tourism now. Like last year in September, I had gone to Dev Prayag, and the point of Sangam is totally become muddy due to ongoing construction.
Yeah,
and yeah. It is absolutely it's absolutely impossible to identify the colors of both rivers.
Right. What used to be a clear distinction earlier is now you can't make out. Right. Earlier there used to be two colors. One used to be a light greenish, sea greenish color, and one used to be a muddy sap greenish color. Now it's just the same.
And coming to the progress of the movement, so has the administration showed any interest or given you any attention till now?
To our movement?
Yes.
Right. So when we had the first protest in the October of 2020, The then CM of Uttarakhand, TRS, Trivendra Singh Rawat, I think. Trivendra Singh Rawat that time. So immediately the same day, there was a statement from him claiming that we are politically driven, the entire movement is politically driven, that we are anti-development, as they call us, quote unquote. We are anti-nationalists. Those were all the words being used for the movement. But you see, we do not have an affiliation to any political party. Right, we were purely an environmental cause, purely working in the interest of the environment, the wildlife, the whole ecosystem that that is there in Thano's forest. And they call us anti-development, but it is important to understand their definition of development, because what we can see, what is evident, is that their definition of development is strictly limited to infrastructural development. It does not goes beyond infrastructure development. It does not goes towards the side of societal development, towards the educational development, towards ecological development or economical development, right? Their narratives are only limited to infrastructure development, and that is not the right sense of development. That is not a holistic development. So when the definition of development is flawed, right, and it is evident now through various case studies, through various research and publications, that this development in Uttarakhand is the primary source of destruction in Uttarakhand. So while you call us anti-development, at the same time we are also anti-destruction, right? So I don't know, you tell us what we are. And that has been the stand of the administration. They have gone to various lengths to to justify that our intentions aren't in the right places. So there was this meeting which was in 2021, late December or November, I think. And this was the meeting of the Biodiversity Board, which is headed by the Chief Minister of Uttarakhand. And a lot of officials, high-level officials, were in this meeting. The decision for the airport thing was taken in this meeting. And there were three public representatives in that meeting. Now, I personally filed RTI for the minutes of meeting of this particular meeting. And you would be surprised that I had filed two RTIs through two different channels. I got three replies. In one of those replies, I got the name of, I had four or five questions listed in that RTI. Right. So in the first reply, I got that three out of the five questions were answered, but the minutes of meetings were not furnished. They said that we do not have any records for the minutes of meeting. The next RTI reply comes, and I was given the answer of one question out of five. The third mail comes, and in it is written that we do not have answer to any of your question. That was the case. So there was a lot of discrepancy around what's happening, what the government is thinking about this project, how they're going to operate. So that is how it was.
By the way, I have also worked with West Warriors before pandemic.
Oh, really? That's so wonderful.
Yeah. Speaking of pandemic, we have lived through one, and whose root cause was exceeding contact between animals and humans. So why doesn't development practices take lessons and change their style of work, keeping a more harmonious kind of nature balance between it doesn't affect humans, it doesn't affect wildlife as well?
So you need to understand the basic mentality with which the development agencies in our country work. The mindset is a very primitive mindset in terms of development and technology. Very few people are actually able to, fall in line with the technological advancements. So our authorities, they do not conduct if they do, that is not evident. Now, this is something that I am not very sure of, but that is what I presume, that they do not conduct training sessions with the development agencies. The architects, the civil architects, and their operation procedures are still age old. You know, when we see countries like European countries or America or Japan or China, they have built their infrastructure in harmony with the nature, right? But in our case, number one, our regulations that control the development, they are flawed. They have a lot of loopholes in them. Number two, even having that flawed guidelines or set of rules, even they are not followed properly. So eventually it turns out to be a project which has been carried out in for a namesake manner, just to make headlines. That is what it appears, because we have seen a number of cases where recent built bridges have just collapsed and roads have collapsed, and we have seen so many landslides, as I earlier mentioned. So you know, that is why they don't change their style of work. And to tell you about the contact between human and animals, now this is such a big problem in Uttarakhand, that human animal conflict is now on a rise. It has been on a rise for the past 10 years. This is primarily because whatever land is being occupied for these developmental projects is somehow either forest land in most cases, or in the minority cases, it is agricultural land, right? So when you go inside the territory of animals, when you completely destroy their ecosystem, completely destroy their habitat and their territory, what do you expect? The animals are bound to come into human settlements. That is going to happen. So the contact and conflict will both, you know, amplify in that case. So I also did a story with the Youth Ki Awaaz, where I tried to highlight the rising human-animal conflict in the forest of Thano, because they have cut a lot of area in that particular region. Thano also happens to be the last remaining link between the East and the West Rajaji National Park. Now, this is a very critical information that I've tried to put out through my social media. You know, all these things that we think are critical, that I think are critical, somehow does not make any sense to the developmental agencies. So that is their modus operandi. They do not learn, they do not take lessons, they do not change their work style. And why they don't do that is, you know, that is a matter of discussion. We can take it up for debate and, you know, public consultations, I think.
And lastly, what is your message to tourists who are planning to come to Uttarakhand in this new season, now that we are out of pandemic and lockdowns are over?
Yeah, well, I would say that please stop coming to Uttarakhand. I mean, I cannot directly say that stop coming to Uttarakhand, but I would rather request that the tourists be mindful of what they are doing in Uttarakhand, because we are seeing now different kinds of problem being coming up. So please be mindful of where you are going, because you are coming into our state, and the ecology of the state is, you know, is being sent off for a toss. And there is so much environmental destruction going on in the name of tourism, and because of this tourist-based economic model that our state is trying to develop, which is a very unsustainable method of generating revenue. So just be mindful, and also please, when you people come to Uttarakhand, please do not litter around here and there. You know, you can carry your mobile phones, you can carry your purses, your wallets, your power banks, and so what all and what not in your pockets. Please just carry your waste in some bag also, and just dump it in a dustbin, if not everywhere. Eventually, it's a sad case that eventually that dustbin is also going to be emptied in a landfill. But then we'll at least be contented with the fact that all that garbage is in one place, right? It's not scattered everywhere. So just be mindful of that, and be mindful of why you want to come to Uttarakhand and what state Uttarakhand is in right now. Just that.
I also think that a better way to address this issue is issue from a tourism point of view is to avoid over tourism and avoid places that have been saturated in the state.
Also, that's a request like, we'll have to make to the authorities to regulate tourism, not have unchecked tourism come into Uttarakhand. You know, set a limit on what is your carrying capacity. What is the carrying capacity of the cities of Uttarakhand and what is the carrying capacity of the hills and the hill stations of Uttarakhand. So that's for the state and the authorities to, you know, put a capping on.
Right, right. And as tourists, as visitors, we can always support travel companies, homestays and other entities that add something positive to the community and local ecology rather instead of booking a package with any random unethical outsider company.
Right. So that is where the part of ecotourism comes into play, right? Where the government has such initiatives that support ecotourisms and criticize unchecked tourism. So we also need to have that in place in Uttarakhand.
Right. I agree with you. And thanks a lot for joining me and sharing your valuable insights. Development should not come at a cost of loss of nature and ecology because we are connected with it and it's not like we are on the top of the food chain but somewhere in the center. And at a time when we are still coming out of pandemic, it is very important to keep this in note because the last pandemic that we faced happened because a lot of uncontrolled contact between humans and wildlife was happening. So I hope that those who are listening to this episode would join Pushpam and his team to support this movement and spread the word.
Yeah, I would just like to mention that people who are listening to this, we are on Instagram as save_Thano. That is our Instagram handle. And we have just launched a new campaign that goes by the name of Save Dehradun campaign. It's basically a transition of Save Thano into a Save Dehradun campaign because now we need to focus upon the entire environment and ecology around Dehradun and not just one particular issue. So please connect with us. Please help us out.
You can also connect with me at my social media handles. All the links are mentioned in the episode description. And with this, we will bid goodbye. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on the platform you are listening. This was Anshul. I was with Pushpam. And we will be back with a new guest and a new episode soon.